The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Well, I mean, if you think about all the murders of the kids in Dream Warriors,
right.
I mean, there were definitely memorable moments when he goes up against the fucking D&D dork wizard dude.
Can we talk about when Dokken murdered my ears?
Yeah, but then he just picks him up and, like, stabs him through the chest. Like, that wasn't very...
No, not
theatric.
Not entirely. Plus,
the needle scene was way better than the needle death scene.
The problem with two is that it took itself way too seriously. One was more of an experiment.
Absolutely.
Then you get to three where it fucking knew what it was, and that's why it's the best, and that's why the murders are the best.
And why they forget in four.
Four was just about making money. At that point, they were like, hey, you've never written anything before? Sweet. Why don't you come on here and throw some ideas out?
Wasn't five the one that he played video games?
That was six. Five was the dream child.
Oh, right.
Five was Freddy's Dead. Which
six was Freddy's Dead.
Six was Freddy's Dead, yeah. And five was dream child.
Which one was the one in space?
There was not a Freddy in space.
That's Jason. Jason X.
I get them mixed up.
Yeah. Which Jason, of course, you know, Friday the 13th had some of the best... stabbing and stuff, death scenes of that nature, which we'll get to.
The classic sleeping bag murder.
The sleeping bag murder is,
I mean, priceless.
That is like.
I got one that's better.
If you know anything
than me.
About him, that's what you think about.
Yeah.
First.
I got one that's actually, for me personally, trumps that. So we'll get into that when we touch that.
Well, I'm kind of excited because we are going to be talking a lot about the horror movie deaths and murders and stuff, but I mean, this spans outside of even horror.
It has to.
Absolutely has to.
But can we talk about the cat and fucking Reanimator? That cat got fucking murdered.
Can we talk about the cat and Boondock Saints?
Also that cat.
Can
we have a whole segment on animal murder?
Oh.
Which actually, I posted that we were going to be doing a memorable movie murders episode, and Sean from California posted that we needed to make sure we mentioned the cat and also Ron Jeremy from Boondock Saints.
Nice.
During our conversation, because Ron Jeremy jerking off in a Jack booth and getting murdered. Yeah, that's a pretty good.
Or the titty dancer where he's like, I'll tip her after he grabs the dead chick's tit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Hey, you know a cat that actually got tortured was in Hocus Pocus. That's right. I said it. That cat died like eight fucking times.
Yeah.
Got ran over. I think he got shot, maybe.
But it did not get beat to death with a fucking baseball bat.
Hey, at one time versus like nine. Come on. I think he was dead by the end of it.
That cat reanimator had a rough go. They brought that motherfucker back, too.
The hard part about having a memorable movie murder...
Put him in the fridge.
...episode is because... Anytime there's a movie that really incorporates murder as part of the plot line, they want it to be memorable. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the whole point. So there's a lot to unpack on this episode, a lot. The hard part is that we can't just be like Chris Farley on SNL, his talk show. He's like, hey, remember that one time that thing happened?
Yeah.
That was cool. We can't do that for an hour.
No,
so speaking of memorable murders that might have fucked people up for life, last week they had Transformers in theaters. And you got to see on a big screen Optimus Prime getting shanked and dying. There was a kid in front of us that also started crying again.
Nice.
Hey, I was not alone.
See, but that would work as a memorable movie murder because in cartoons alone, they try to avoid people getting fucking murdered. So
he got prison shanked.
Yeah.
They try to avoid using the word murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They show it just fine.
Yeah.
That is true. Lots of nameless guys get shot.
Right, all
lasers.
The time.
Optimus Prime and Bambi's mom are fucked, but everybody else is like...
Bambi's mom is toast. Oh, and fucking, Peter Parker's parents and Batman's parents.
Yeah.
They were robbed.
Literally, every protagonist's parents, because they're all orphans.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, that's just the going trope with any kind of superhero thing or, like, cartoon character, is that the parents are always... murdered or not there.
Maybe that's why Jaime Reyes is a shitty Blue Beetle, because he still has parents.
Well,
I think what it is that all these writers are like aunts and uncles, and they think they're way cooler, so they just write in that the aunt and uncle takes care of the kids,
or
the grandmother.
We're better.
So what we're doing on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence is talking about memorable movie murders. We're going to be talking about stuff from the horror genre, a lot of that. Because it's Halloween time, it is October, so we have to definitely cover that. But we're also going to be kind of branching out away from horror as well and talking about Leo DiCaprio getting shot in the face at the end of Departed. You know, that was pretty memorable. That was a, whoa, shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that just happened.
Yeah.
So we're going to be jumping all over the place on this episode. This is going to be a lot of fun and a lot of opportunity for riffing on episode 139 of Geeks Under the Influence. Welcome.
Mike the Hobbit. This is Doug Bradley. I'm here, and you're not. No excuses. I'm coming for you, and I will tear your soul apart.
Whee!
Noises.
All right. Or movie murders would be more like, ah!
Yeah, I can't do that loud scream. Just, ah!
Ah!
You stabbed me.
The Wilhelm scream.
Can you just edit the Wilhelm scream in there?
I might if I put any time into editing this. At the
I'm going to get you a copy of the Hanna-Barbera sound library.
I would say J.B. Lee Curtis, goodness. But would they'd probably get like copyright issues or something.
Oh, probably. But Wilhelm is pretty
widely
good
used.
To,
yeah.
Good to go.
Public
yeah.
domain now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's been around since, what, the 20s or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been around for a while. And that's just like a running joke with sound guys. Is using the Wilhelm scream in like literally every movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime there's an action sequence, you hear the Wilhelm scream just randomly. It's just a fun game.
Tarantino goes out of his way to use it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And before we get started on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, let's talk about the panel on this episode. To my right is coming back from the Gambler 500, which we'll be doing a conversation about that in the near future on Geeks Under the Influence, as well as posting video. And we posted the video onto our social media.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got it up on YouTube.
You know what? I'll put the link on the notes for this episode as well, can check it out. The Gambler 500 is if Kron is here, if you want to kind of tell people what the Gambler's all about.
So the Gambler 500 is pretty fancy. Basically, it's an off-road navigation challenge. They tell you it's not a race, and it's not a fucking race unless you're drinking. But basically, you get a cheap beater car for around $500, drive around 500 miles, and pick up trash and drink heavily in the woods. So we did that in Tennessee, had a good time, and nobody died, and destroyed some cars, and got a lot of dash cam footage.
I'm amazed that Shane's car held up as well as it did.
I'm not. It's a fucking Volvo.
Yeah, but
it's
a fucking
tank.
It looks exactly the same as it did when you left, with more mud on it.
Wu's newer truck has actually had more issues than Shane's car.
Yeah, I heard something busted on his...
No, he sucked a rock into the rear brakes, and it made some weird noises and scared him a lot. He dinged a fender, I think, and apparently the guys at the shop hated him because he didn't actually clean it, so he just dropped it off with, baked mud on the bottom, and they had a bastard of a time trying to change his oil that was way overdue.
Wait, if you were drinking in the woods, heavily, did anybody bring a Jason mask? Somebody had to have brought a Jason mask. It just seems fucking fitting.
No, but there was some guys in a Saturn with a flamethrower that showed up on Friday.
It was the boring,
the Elon Musk flamethrower.
Oh, that's not a flamethrower, by the way.
I know.
Yeah. They pulled into camp well after dark, hauling ass with all the lights blaring and blinking and the stereo going, and there's just a dude leaning out of the car with a gas mask on, just shooting 6 feet of flame in the
air. Straight Mad Max style.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was. And then, the next day we cooked hot dogs with it.
I saw the video of that. That was amazing.
How long did that take? You couldn't have held it on there very long.
About 5 minutes cooking some hot dogs.
Yeah.
They tasted a lot like propane, apparently, though.
Yeah.
That thing is not very efficient at making fire. It spits a lot. You can see on the video, there's propane spitting.
It's a roof flame thing. It's like something they use it's really not that powerful.
For pyrotechnics.
Yeah,
and
right, yeah.
It's like gardening equipment wrapped in an airsoft rifle.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. If you want to see
I think that was Elon Musk's definition.
All sorts of other hijinks from the weekend, the Gambler 500. There's about a little over an hour video that's posted.
There's lots of local bands' music on it.
Yep, and the link will be on the notes and also on GUI page when this episode comes up.
There's some guys just shooting a Jeep for the fuck of it.
Because America.
Always be gambling,
Jesus Christ.
That sounds fun.
Next up the panel is the purveyor of Smash Talk. Who just came back from a convention up north where you talked to some people, got some interviews, and...
Mm-hmm. It was a furry convention.
A furry convention, yeah. Mr. Kyle Smash, also known as Mr. Fennec Fox.
I'm on the side of the couch here.
It's the fantastic Mr. Fox. Thank you.
The fantastic Fennec
Fox. No, it was Monster Mania 41.
Yeah.
Went up there with Lowdown, who you'll introduce next, but... Yeah, it was a great time. Yeah, we got some good interviews, met a lot of cool people. It was really well organized. I will throw that in there. It actually was really well organized. It was
also the Hunt Valley one.
Yeah, Hunt Valley is usually better.
Now, with that said, I haven't had experience with that yet. So, with that said, it was just really well done.
Yeah.
So, we had a hell of a time, and we got some good interviews, and they'll be coming out soon.
Cool. Next to Kyle, my right-hand man on my left-hand side, the Sexual Chocolate. Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver's here.
What's up, guys?
You were also there at Hunt Valley. Got some autographs. You got to meet the one and only Heather Langenkamp.
I did, and she's a fucking sweetheart.
Nice.
She was awesome.
It's always nice to know that the people that you appreciate from films and just life are actually halfway decent human beings.
And I know Lowdown will agree that the live panel was, for me, it was one of the best panels I'd seen.
Yeah, Robert Englund threw out some really good ideas for where he'd like to see the series go.
Oh,
what he would like to think, what he would like to see somebody kind of take on. Because he was like, when he watched the remake we got, he was like, that's the same thing that I did. Like,
yeah.
he doesn't want to see
like,
that.
Yeah. It's almost like when a band covers a song, where if they do just the closest to the original version as possible, then why not listen to the original version? You're just getting a like Kmart version of it.
And to be more specific, and
that's why Me First and the Gimme Gimmes are a sweet band.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that basically it was everybody that has a nightmare, everybody that is having a nightmare about him, sees him through their lens of through their nightmare. So he doesn't always look the same. He has similar attributes, but he's a different Freddy.
Yeah, that was the best idea I think I've ever heard.
That's pretty solid.
It was pretty amazing.
So instead of just the same fedora and instead of having just like a pullover sweater, like one Freddy could be wearing a cardigan, have like long nails and short claws, so it'd be shorter claws. One Freddy for someone else could have like insanely long claws and just do different, because it's all an imagination.
Or needles for hands.
Can one Freddy just be Scary Terry from Rick and Morty?
Yes, absolutely.
If you're terrified of that, then I'm sure he'll show up just like
he was like, one Freddy could have a ball cap on. One Freddy could have half his face burnt and, the other half is normal.
And think of the crazy deaths that would arise from that.
Oh, it'd be insane. Absolutely. It's a really good idea,
though. You'd have to be really inventive.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. But anyway, that was that was a really good panel.
Yeah.
What's going into the tropes that you've seen on a number of like sci-fi shows and stuff, whether it be anthologies or Star Trek, where like your worst fears haunt you and they come after you? Hell, the Orville did an episode of that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
I caught up on that.
Do what?
Did that get renewed?
Oh yeah, for like two more seasons it already got
DC
renewed.
DC has a whole character based around that.
Like, oh, it's Scarecrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole shtick is he gets you high and you see your own worst fears.
See, Freddy just tells you drugs will kill you and then shoves needles in your arm.
So. Freddy makes it fun. Yeah. Freddy knows how to party. That's what makes him awesome.
See, we were talking about Freddy and his kills, and the thing is, like, throughout the series, he's murdering the shit out of people, and it is in fun, campy ways.
Right.
What I want to start talking about is not the campy, fun version, like Freddy versions of murder. I'm talking about they're fun in their own rights, but just straight up murder porn movies.
Right.
Is the best way to start this out. We're talking, Final Destination and Saw and Hostel. Although Final Destination technically isn't murder because it's death itself. So would you call that murder at that point?
Outside entity? Sure. That was some creative ways to kill somebody.
It was murder because you cheated death and therefore you lived past your time. And so what are you just saying that like because you happened to escape death once that you're just still destined to die in some more fucked up way? Or is it death trying to like, get his fucking quota for the...
Wouldn't you really call that if from a spiritual standpoint justice versus if you're death, wouldn't you consider that justice versus just murder? He's taking back what's rightfully his.
I think he just calls it a Tuesday because it's his fucking job.
Yeah, pretty much. And also, like...
He may have called it in the day
if you call
it
murder,
didn't die.
Then anytime death takes a life, that would be murder as well. Because even if he didn't fuck it up the first time and you actually got your due when you were supposed to, that would still be considered murder.
It's going to be an interesting philosophical conversation.
I would love that they rebooted Final Destination and did it, from the first movie.
Anonymous.
But do it almost like the Bean books from Ender's Game, where it's, from the perspective of Bean, his second in command during all the stuff. Do that, but with death, just chasing these fucking kids around and just being annoyed as shit the entire time.
Would it look like Hardcore Henry?
Yes.
You just see it.
It's got to be like Adam Carolla, though, who just sounds super not into his job and just really annoyed that people fucking won't die.
You get Bobcat Goldthwait to play death.
Yeah.
Fucking kids.
Well,
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
So, before we dig too much into the whole torture porn, we need to talk about the other elephant in the room as the host.
There is that. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I know we tried to bypass it, but I, in good conscience, I cannot mention.
He does care.
Yeah. He does,
or at least fakes it when we're recording.
He does, in fact, have a third nipple.
Yes.
It sees all.
To the left is the Hobbit. You're the purveyor of this shite show.
Yes, I am Mike the Hobbit, the founder of the Geeks Under the Influence Network and the host of this shit show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. You can find us on Twitter at GUIPodcastRVA. You can find links to all our social media at GUIPodcast.com. It also has links to...
Come on down.
Yeah. What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I channeled Morning Zoo Radio for a second.
Drew Carey over there?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like Jeremy Piven in that one movie where he's a car salesman.
Look, he's podcasting the shit out of it. All right, leave him alone.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Will Ferrell had a sweet death.
Follow us on social media. I want to give a heads up to everybody listening that around the time this episode drops, 2 o'clock on October 8th, I will be doing a live stream with Podchaser. Co-stream on our stream at a GY Network on Facebook and their stream on Facebook, where we just talk about Geeks Under the Influence, how we got started, kind of our modus operandi, our plans for the future, that kind of thing. So it should be interesting. Even if you listen to this after the streaming, it should still be available on both sites post live stream. So check that out.
Sweet.
Also, if you like this, check out the Wes Craven episode that we just recorded. We're doing a episode every week for the month of October, so 5 episodes total, all freaky horror related in one way, shape, or form. And we got some cool guests coming out and interviews from Monster Mania and elsewhere that should be hopefully coming out in October as well. So a lot of stuff happening.
It's coming.
Also, speaking of things happening, we've got on October 17th a movie night, another Beautiful Disasters B movie night at Strangeways Brewing Company on Dabney Road in Richmond, Virginia. And the theme for October, we're showing you a fun little horror movie that will not be named. It's a surprise, but the theme for the month of October is Trip to the Brain.
I mean, I know what the movie is. I'm pretty fucking sure. I'm not going to say, but I'm like 99.9% sure where it is.
Yeah, I think you got a good idea.
Say that one more time. It's a Trip to the Brain.
Trip to the Brain.
And it's not a suicidal song.
Yeah. Which is how I came up with the idea for the theme. But.
Okay.
I have
a couple ideas
like
in my head.
I'm like 100% sure, actually. I know what
it is. It's a super fun horror movie that is very worth watching. If you have seen it before, you're not going to have a bad time watching it again in a big projector screen in the back of a brewery. And if you haven't seen it, you kind of need to. This is a fantastically wonderful, weird movie. Well worth your time. That's October 17th, which is a Wednesday, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Well, let's get into the torture porn a little bit. One of the big ones is the Hostel.
I thought it's a tentacle porn.
No, that's the anime episode. No, we're talking about...
I was like, why is Hobbit writing about
Saw, Hostel. Like Saw, for example, I have not seen all the Saw movies. I saw the five of them, I think. No, four or five of them.
How many are there?
I've seen two.
I watched
seven?
Two,
or eight now, I think.
I saw the first two, and then no more.
That was enough.
Yeah.
Same thing with Scream. I watched the first two.
Yeah.
The first Saw movie was much like Sixth Sense, where once you kind of get the big twist at the end.
It has zero rewatchability.
The rewatchability isn't great, but the first watch is fan-fucking-tastic. Like, it's a great first watch, but yeah, once you know where the trick is, you may watch it again just to see if you can pick up on it during the movie, but once it's there, it's there. You can't, like, unremember it unless you just drink a lot, which, you know.
would you say that Cabin in the Woods is a torture porn movie?
No, not really.
It's a survival horror without the zombies.
Survival horror, satire, almost.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes, satire, definitely,
absolutely.
Well, it's definitely satirical, but I was thinking more of like a satire of like Saw and stuff like that.
Because no one got tortured.
Oh, that is true.
They were mostly monsters, I think. Maybe a couple of psychos.
Although, talk about memorable movie murders when those elevator doors open up in Cabin in the Woods and all the monsters come out all at once.
Yes.
And just decimates an entire, like, army.
The fucking mermaid. I don't even get me.
Oh, my God.
The fucking mermaid.
Yeah. The fucking mermaid. That thing was amazing.
Weirdest episode of West Wing ever.
Yeah.
It almost reminded me of the X-Files episode with the vampire worm dude. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the little, like, sucker mouth
the
dude?
The little sucker. That thing still fucks me up when I see pictures of it.
Speaking of fucked up X-Files and murders, the weird episode, they never rerun it in syndication because it was too fucked up. The one with the hillbilly family?
Yeah.
That one's too fucked up.
That is
the mom.
Real
that,
dark.
She's like in the box under the bed. Yeah, that one was fucked
up. That's not torture porn.
No, it's not.
So,
it could be. Depends on what you're
for
into.
For me, I mean, I've got to...
No, that's called West Virginia porn.
For me, I kind of have to go with... I got to throw it into Hostel because this is one that really fucked with me. It was the fucking end scene with the chick with the fucking eyeball hanging out, and she's like running to the goddamn train station and her eyes just like down on her cheek.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh, God.
There was one very memorable movie murder in Hostel 2 that I thought was interesting. Is this the actress that was in Welcome to the Dollhouse is hanging upside down over a bathtub that this vampy woman that runs the whole show is underneath, and she takes like a sickle on a long thing, starts cutting her up and cuts her wide open, and then just bathes in her blood like Blood Queen. What's her face?
Elizabeth Bathory.
Bathory. Bathing in the screaming like early 20s college girl's blood as she's just bleeding out all over, and I'm like, fuck,
Jesus,
that's dark. But what I have problem with the later Saw movies, not necessarily the first one, although it was gratuitous, there was still intent. You know, it didn't seem like that the only thing was the murdering.
They just leaped from one murder scene to the next with no plot.
The later ones, definitely. Yeah. The first one actually had an interweaved story that seemed to justify the use of the murdering.
Yeah.
I don't know but justify, but definitely you could see how if you'd gone insane and was really smart, you'd go that route.
But Hostel made no bones about what it was. It was Eli Roth being like, no, I just want to show some fucked up ways people are getting tortured and fucking murdered.
That's like Eli Roth movies, though.
Yeah, true.
Like, Green Inferno is just an excuse for him to have hippies getting murdered by cannibals.
And see, you're right. It is exactly like almost every Eli Roth movie ever. But the only other one that really mattered when the first Hostel came out was you had like Cabin Fever. So pretty much if you see those two fucking movies, you need to watch zero Eli Roth movies after that. Like, seriously, zero of them.
You can watch his remake of Death Wish if you just didn't think enough blood in the original. And the remake was not great.
I have zero desire to watch that movie.
I'd have to go with Saw 1 because it's the only one that I remember watching where I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, because of the deaths. Like, Gary Eloise or whatever, I thought his acting was so bad that his American accent was so bad I couldn't do it.
The accent was pretty bad.
I wanted him to go either back to Robin Hood or back to fucking,
Princess
Bride. So either way, that's what made it. But the best scene in there for me, and I know it's probably for most, is the end scene where the decision is made to finally start cutting.
Ugh,
because the tension leading up to that was what they did really well. And there was some cool fucking scenes in there, but when he got to that point and cut off like for me, because he dies not long, you know.
He bleeds the fuck out.
Yeah. and that's a fucked up way to die because you were just waiting.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. And you're also walking on a fucking stump.
Yeah.
At that point, too. Yeah. Oh, man. God, the raw nerve ending.
Oh, fucking A.
So that would be mine.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Just really now, it's like my hill I'm going to die on is I want to see a parody movie of Saw, like a new one, not part of the scary movie franchise.
Yeah.
Where, because Cary Elwes made fun of Kevin Costner's Robin Hood in tights, you get Kevin Costner to play Cary Elwes' role in Saw and make a mention. It's like, at least I can talk in an American accent.
Oh,
finger back.
Boom.
Would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Boom.
That's
so much better if he just used his real voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shit.
Like, why couldn't he be a British dude? Like, was that really much of an issue?
No.
No.
He was stretching his acting chops and failed.
It was probably some dickhead in the production department. It was like, we have to do it this way because the movie studio guy said so.
No, but he's supposed to be like an American husband. Can't he be an immigrant? Like, you don't even have to explain it. There's British people. Like, that happens.
We can't talk about immigrants anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. There's a wall.
We're going to build a wall just to keep Cary Elwes out.
Yep.
That's the only person we're concerned about.
Building a wall across the
Atlantic. It's going to be completely soundproof so he can't come across so that his accent can't take it down.
A lot of people don't know that about Cary Elwes is he has the voice of an angel that will shatter walls.
He's like Black Canary with that shit.
Yeah.
Mexico's been trying to find him for years.
Yeah. Actually, like the dragon from Game of Thrones.
When Moses and the Jews were dancing, going around the wall trying to bring it down, it was actually just Cary Elwes going, hey.
Yeah. Hey.
Stop. Little do you know, he was actually there in Berlin.
Yes.
He helped Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall.
Actually, when he said tear down this wall, he wasn't talking to Gorbachev. He was talking to Cary Elwes.
He was. Get it done. I will. Yeah.
off mic was like, Cary, bruh, can you do me a solid? we need this wall coming down.
Is that the way they talk? I would love to see him do one where he's like, bruh, nah, bruh.
Cary always developed this talent early on in his life when he's a teenager working in construction that it just was way more effective than a jackhammer.
The best acting he did that entire movie is when he was screaming in pain. because anything else just made it worse. Mm. As soon as he cut that fucking leg off, it was like, wow, yeah, man, he fucking nailed it.
Yeah. Because what you can do is scream.
That's now kill his ass.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, the Saw movies, there were definitely interesting kills in the later ones. There was, I think it's Saw 3, where there's like just this pit full of hypodermic needles. Yeah. And it was, oh, was that 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was 2.
That was just upsetting. Like, it wasn't even good. It was just really fucking upsetting.
Fucking hate needles.
Ugh.
Jesus Christ.
It's just like a dumpster in Southside.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's also, they're glass needles, so they're breaking, so you're getting cut by the glass and the needles, and you're getting up, and just, oh, God, it just gives you
ooh,
the shivers.
Was it number 2 as well with the razor blade walls?
That's where I was going.
Yes.
With that fucking, the hands up the thing my and the God. Razor blades. Just, oh, Jesus
just
Christ.
Slowly dying as that's you just, walk. It's so,
so bad.
Awful.
So I bad. Mean,
but so, it, how fucked, how crazy. How,
oh, no, no, no.
How drunk or high or just hopped up on fucking monster do you have to be to sit there and write that shit?
So not, so, okay, so no, that must be a later one. I was thinking of the walls. I was thinking about where, you know, he had said everyone had been poisoned and there was a antidote. And this one chick found a needle.
Yes.
It was in a box above her head.
Right.
And when she didn't think, because none of the people think in Saw movies.
Yeah.
And she put her hands through it
mm-hmm.
to grab the needle.
Oh, but, yeah, I saw that.
As the trap door, when it, you know, when it, her hands went it in, like, it was razor blades on the other
it
side.
Was like
so for her to come down,
glass.
She would have to like just fucking shred
her hands. Yes.
God damn it.
This is the one where they made them walk through the hallway like basically like they had no room on back or front. And it was just like all fucking razor blades.
Oh, fuck that.
And they had to walk through this corridor. I was
see,
like,
I don't want to watch that. Like, I just, yeah.
But
I just don't want to watch
that. Genius and like horror right there.
That's, I felt the first movie definitely, there was some real thoughtfulness into the plot that tied this all together, that a lot of the twists at the end where like one of the movies took place at the same exact time as one of the other movies and you don't realize it until the end, and that's not even a twist so much as on the characters as it is the audience, and at that point that's bullshit. The first Saw movie got it, but ultimately the entire basis of Saw is a Kmart version of Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for
yeah,
sure.
Because Seven was, it's still, I mean, it still holds up incredibly well.
It's, yeah, it's totally a Kmart version of Seven and with people that just love, like you said, it's torture porn. Like so basically, like, you've got people that respect how that story flowed that literally just want to sit there and beat off in the production studio to people getting fucked up.
Yeah.
That's basically what Saw is.
I'm pretty sure that, like, some of the people that, like, especially in the later Saw movies that wrote these torture scenes are just leftover Germans from Operation Paperclip, because there's just fucked up stuff happening. Jesus. Like, where did you find these people to write this shit? Because it's just fucked up beyond any normal sense of sanity.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess that's why we call it, you know, that's why it's porn, because you're seeing all these things occur with Seven. Like, I would have liked, the Saw version would be to actually watch the guy consistently get fed or feeding himself to actually
sure.
die. From it, like to actually see that occur versus the aftermath
sure
is so much more effective if you're going for that shock value.
And but that's I think why Seven holds up so well, is because it's not about seeing this gratuitous torture scene
right.
so much as seeing how it affects all the characters involved in mm-hmm. this thing. That the guy that had to have sex with a prostitute with a blade on the end of this thing, and he's just broken, like he psychotic break level, just
yeah.
done.
Yeah,
like, he is like the final girl in Texas Chainsaw on the truck as Leatherface is in the Saw, where she's just like just out, just done, just fucking done. I've always wanted to see a sequel to that where it's just her fucking broken as a person and like in and out of like institutions, you know, gets it involved in drugs and can't hold a job or relationship.
That's great.
And
her first 6 months in the wacko basket.
Yeah.
It'll be a 45 minute documentary style.
That'd be great.
Movie.
That'd be just wonderful. Although people will be like, well, when's Leatherface show up? And it's like, no, motherfucker, it's about surviving, like what happens to survivors after a traumatic event would be the,
you totally
the
do
fun
a,
of it.
You could totally do a Sasquatch type thing too. So where at the end of the documentary, they go back to where it supposedly happened
and
you know,
it's
supposed
shit.
To leave abandoned. They can't find shit, but like somewhere in the background, you see this Sasquatch type motherfucker. It's just him and his chainsaw.
I was like, I don't remember Sasquatch in Texas Chainsaw.
Well, I just
you
imagine,
watched a different version.
You know, the like blurry out of vision, like, is that real or not real? You just kind of see it in the background as he's running away.
Somebody's like, quick, get the Jack Link's jerky.
But it's just tiny from fucking,
yeah.
fucking House with a House of Corpses.
Fucking a stump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a movie right there.
So clearly, you know, we all know that the torture porn movies had some definite, you know, memorable murder scenes, right? Because that's what they got hired for. They got hired to create the most fucked up ways for anybody to fucking die.
Right.
Right. But what about the movies that made the most original? Because, I mean, as much as I love the torture porn, I wouldn't say they were the most original ways to die, necessarily. Not all of them.
It was a lot of mousetrap type things.
Yeah, you kind of do it to yourself thing.
Rube Goldberg murders.
Yeah. Very Home Alone-ish.
Yeah. They did that in the remake of I Spit on Your Grave, is that instead of her like seducing the guys into like a sense of comfort and then murdering the fuck out of them, it was this weird like dude wakes up on top of a board on top of a bathtub full of acid and it's like, and you have to hold your foot up or you die. And it's like, that's not...
It's James Bondian.
Yeah, that's this chick in the woods like coming up with this to get back at the rapist. And I'm like, it actually takes away from it a little. Not that... Honestly, the first I Spit on Your Grave, I can't even fucking watch anymore, but like... It's just too much, but but you're taking all the, like, I guess ownership of sexuality as a means of a weapon against these people that took it away from her in the first place, at least says something, but it's like, you raped and tried to kill me, so here's a bathtub full of acid. Like, it doesn't,
yeah,
it doesn't translate as well.
No. It's like they're trying to get information. What's your bank account?
Yeah.
I want your bank account information. Give it to me.
Where's the fucking money, Lebowski?
Yeah.
Give us the money. Yeah.
I will not give you anything, Goldfinger.
One trope I do like as far as like interesting that's used in a lot of stuff is the you have to pick one trope of murder where...
The trolley dilemma.
Yeah, that you have to here are your two kids.
Right.
You pick one or both die.
It's
you know?
The trolley dilemma, yeah.
Yeah. It's such a fucked and impossible answer, but you have to pick one. Because otherwise both die. And like, how does somebody go? The mental anguish that comes from that kind of a decision is just, there's a reason why it's used so much in especially horror and thrillers, because it's perfect. It's such a simple concept.
It's a great mechanism to create a lot of tension.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of uncomfortable moving around your seats, kind of fucking tilting your head.
Yep. As far as memorable goes, interesting, original takes. What do you got, Lowdown? I know you got a couple saved up.
I've got one in particular that I remember when I saw that movie, I was like, holy motherfuck, this is amazing. In Your Next, when Chicky took a blender and shoved it over to Homeboy's head. I just wasn't expecting that at all. I mean, she was already doing some fucked up shit. So like, there were a lot of unexpected death scenes in that movie. The whole twist of her being a badass was unexpected. But like, in a kitchen, dude kind of got the best of you for a little bit, and then you just take a blender and turn it on and put it over his head. Yeah, that's pretty memorable.
Yeah.
Like, that's one, that's
but
like
would
one
that
of the things.
Effectively kill someone in real life?
Well,
I mean, how powerful is that blender really?
There's also, for me, a memorable murder that is definitely original is Murder by Carrot and Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah, I was thinking of that one.
Yeah.
Holy shit. One of my favorites, and I know it's not a horror movie and it's not really particularly gruesome, but just the story behind how they filmed it was, and again, not a horror movie, but it was fucking Die Hard.
I knew you were
going to go there.
Just because when they threw him off the roof, he didn't know it was about to happen, so he looks genuinely shit scared.
Yeah.
And apparently Alan Rickman was pissed at John McTiernan for decades about it, because he legit didn't know he was about to fall.
Well, because they said we're going to count to three, and then they, on two, let him go, right?
Yeah, it's like boom. Just down.
That's straight Exorcist style. That's how he basically filmed that whole movie.
But that's a pretty common thing that even Kubrick was used to, like, really just terrorizing his cast.
Fuck with people.
Yeah, just to get him to that point. Which, speaking of Kubrick, The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Axe to chest.
Yeah.
Scatman Crothers. Holy shit. That man. Like, you felt that shot. Oh, yeah. I mean, the sound. Well, I think it was the sound design really helped with that scene,
particularly because a lot of people that had read the book and went to go see the movie didn't know that was going to happen, because in the book he doesn't die,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, fuck, he's dead.
Reason it went memorable too is that like they built it up like there was going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, he flies back to save and like, gets in a tractor thing and goes all the way up there, and you're like, okay, he's going to save the boom, dead immediately. Like, holy shit! Like, you did not see it coming at all.
You know, we can go way modern with that and go with Deadpool 2. Literally the entire X-Force.
Oh, that was beautiful. God. That was so well
basically
done.
Basically covers all of that.
Oh, so good.
That's not what I'm going to go with, but it just jumped into my head as that totally fits in.
Because that's not murder so much as gross incompetence.
hey, you know what? Sometimes one scene is one in the
same. Yeah, no, that's true.
And mine's not too crazy. It's usually Friday the 13th, especially probably the most disliked or one of the most disliked, which is Freddy versus Jason. I guess it's both Nightmare and that. He goes up to the room and the kid's like, he's laying on the bed and he puts the knife down. He grabs each end of the bed and he crushes him into the bed. And I mean,
he folds him in half.
And it's a fucking, it's a bed too. So you know that metal, if it's a real frame, is just crushing each and every part. And then he just, poof. And that to me was like one of the coolest fucking death scenes I think I've ever seen. Like a not great movie.
Like a bloody sleepy taco.
Bloody sleepy taco.
It's more like when you put too much jelly on your toast and you close it up and it just seeps out both sides.
I get that with too much ketchup on my hamburgers. You know, right. It just goes, bleh.
Which, you know, would maybe how they used it. They just filled it with a bunch of ketchup and hamburger meat and jelly.
Another memorable movie murder that it's another one of those that the surprise element, the tail end of Night of the Living Dead. The very end when Dwayne Jones survives.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's got his gun and he's checking out what's happening. And there's the townies with their rifles that are shooting all the zombies. And they're like, there's one in the house, and shoot him dead center of his head. After he survived all of that, after he survived like hordes of zombies, he gets shot in the face because they just didn't have the time to make sure that it wasn't a zombie.
I hate to say it, but racism won out.
Yeah, I mean,
I bet you
60s.
George A. Romero, he had spoken many a times about the cultural, you know, about the significance of what he was showing within that film. So,
and also the fact that a lot of it was unintentional, and some of it was, but like not all of it was intentional.
I think it was just like, why would we bother?
Yeah, but we're about at the break actually already.
Jesus, really?
Yep. So we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, I definitely want to talk about gun porn. A little bit.
Yes.
You know, John Woo.
John Woo, John Wick, with Equilibrium. I mean, like all
doves.
The. And Shoot 'Em Up, of course, we're going to talk about. Yeah, of course. Yeah, lots of doves.
All of the doves. Coming.
But we're going to talk
shoot
about
them
that.
All out of the sky.
And plenty more horror centric stuff on the second half of Geeks Under the Influence. Stick around after these messages, and we're going to do some drunken scene stuff and some what we're drinking.
Happy Halloween, boils and ghouls. Tis the best time of the year, Halloween season, October, and there is plenty of Geeks Under the Influence to go around. Not only do we have an episode coming out every week in the month of October for your spooktacular enjoyment, but we also have another beautiful disastrous B-movie night at Strange Ways Brewing Company on Dabney Road in Richmond, Virginia. For the month of October, our theme is Trip to the Brain. This freakish delight surprise movie has the schlockometer checklist, including brain food, a charming alien, juice, toilet murder, and a deadly custody battle. This event is again on October 17th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. 21 and up, and it's free. The doors open at 6:30. The movie will start around 7. So definitely come out and enjoy what has become a fantastic monthly event at Strange Ways Brewing Company in Richmond, Virginia. Find more information by going to GUIpodcast.com. Tell your friends, bring your friends, and enjoy a spooktacular October with Geeks Under the Influence and Beautiful Disasters.
This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout.
Hey, geeks, I know you love your cats and your dogs and your pets. Well, there is one way to support all the cute little puppies and kitties that were unfortunate enough to get cancer. Geeks Under the Influence is helping raise funds for the Fetch a Cure Pet Cancer Awareness Walk, the Mutt Strut, that takes place October 21st, 2018. Tickets are available in a link on the notes for this episode. You have the choice of joining in on a walk to raise awareness, and there's also ways to just donate if you want to put your money where your mouth is. Don't you love the kitties? Don't you love the puppies? Then donate and sign up to join Fetch a Cure's Pet Cancer Awareness Walk, the Mutt Strut. Sign-ups are available until October 10th. The event takes place October 21st. Find more information through the links on the homepage at gypodcast.com and in the notes for this episode.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things memorable movie murders. But before we continue with that, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. We've got a brand new sponsor that you may have heard of already on Geeks Under the Influence. We're talking TeePublic.
That's Woo! Right.
TeePublic. Good They're quality awesome. Shirts. Yeah, yep. I just got my GUS shirt in the mail, and I've already washed it. And even in the washing instruction, it says that if you do like a light tumble dry is the best thing. I just made sure I turned it inside out before washing it. Great. Looks absolutely perfect.
Didn't
still
shrink,
out.
Nothing.
Nope. They pre-shrink it before they make the shirts. Really high contrast on the logos. Like, it pops really well on the designs. And we've got designs from all of the podcasts on the Geeks Under the Influence Network. Geeks Under the Influence, Smash Talk, Beautiful mm-hmm. Disasters, Smack My Pitch Up, Geek Father, even the Precap. Yeah. Has their own t-shirts on there, along with a shirt that says, Shut the Fuck Up, Hobbit, with a picture of me with duct tape over my mouth.
You got a Halloween one?
We've got an Alka-Halloween.
Alka-Halloween.
Where it's Mike Myers wearing a beer helmet.
Does TeePublic still offer all the other merchandise they can do to put all that stuff on,
yes.
too?
Yeah,
yes,
they have they have stickers, they've got banners, they've got...
I had a pint glass that says, Shut the Fuck Up, Hobbit.
There's no pint glass.
No, but they do have...
they have coffee mugs.
They have coffee mugs and coffee cups as well. That
Sweet.
You can do. Yeah. So
yeah, they're pretty awesome
and decent price on them, and they go on sale here and there as well. So definitely keep an eye out on our TeePublic page. You can find that by going to GUIpodcast.com/store, and there will be a link to our TeePublic page and also info about some of our other wares that we have available only at our live events, like hats, and we will be having koozies in the near future as well, along with some very nice stickers that were made locally for us. So you can rep your GUI pride around town.
We gotta put one of those on our gambler car.
Absolutely. Also, of course, is Amazon.com. With the holidays coming, with Halloween coming, I'm sure you're gonna be buying at least a couple items for your Halloween costume. You're gonna be buying some gifts on Amazon.com. The best way that you can give us a present for Christmas, one of your favorite podcasts, is to just shop through the link at GUIpodcast.com. That way we are able to fund some of the costs of doing this amazing podcast with your help, and you're not spending any more on the stuff on Amazon. You can get that sexy ghost costume.
You can buy a bucket of dildos, and Hobbit won't know about the dildos. I will not.
I don't until
they
get any,
show up on his doorstep.
I don't get any personal information from Amazon about what you're purchasing, so you guys are perfectly fine. And that way, you can help out the podcast, help yourself to some reasonably priced wares at Amazon.com.
I want to make sure I use that link when I purchase my 50-gallon drum of lube for my next orgy.
Absolutely. I would very much appreciate that.
So, Christmas morning?
Yeah. That link is awesome. In the upper right-hand corner on the homepage at GYPodcast.com, also in our links page as well. So share the link. Put it in your bookmarks so that you always use that to go through Amazon so you don't even have to think about it, and you'll be good to go. Just clear your cache just to make sure that it goes right once you bookmark it. It's just a safe way to make sure that you're giving us the credit that you want to give us, but when you bookmark. So that's our sponsors. That's all we got to do.
Oh.
So that was easy. And now, the alcoholic part of this podcast, we're talking about what we're drinking.
Wow.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That was a thing that
I
happened.
Never really get tired of your theme song that you did for us. That's always appreciated. So.
You're welcome, buddy.
I just can't wait till we go back and we hear the original one because it's been a while.
Like, it has been a while, yeah.
Because there's always renditions.
I don't
it,
even
like,
know what music you had originally put to it.
Oh, I do.
There's so many variations.
It's very like fun, like bouncy. Like,
you should start getting guests guitar. To do one for you. You should get Fabian to do one when he's on.
Oh, just do it.
Just get
Fabian
to do it in his like weird, creepy, almost David Bowie voice.
His weird, yeah, he does kind of do a Bowie thing. Oh. Yeah, he's set too. So Fabian from Synthetic Nightmare will be on our H.P. Lovecraft episode that we'll be doing here in the near future.
Is he gonna talk about his sweet rock opera?
Oh yeah, no, that will 100%. When I messaged him,
we're
just I told
not
him
gonna talk about my cameo in that movie.
Of the hundreds of people I know that have created their own Cthulhu-based rock opera, I thought of him first, so I made sure to get him on.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about my cameo on that movie.
No, I've heard about your cameo on that one. Let's avoid that
it was
completely.
Awful.
So, tonight, Lowdown was nice enough to bring us a little tasty treat to drink on. What are we drinking on tonight?
We are drinking on last year's release from the Hardywood Brewery. This is Kentucky Christmas Morning. And we are like 3.5 weeks away from the release of the regular gingerbread stout. This is a bourbon barreled coffee version of that gingerbread stout.
It's and this very is last buttery. Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has a nice buttery finish to it.
Some real heft to this drink.
Oh, yeah.
Now, thematically, Kentucky Christmas Morning wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, but when you're talking about memorable movie murders, this might kill you.
Yes.
Because it is heavy duty. I mean, it's got a lot of flavors. It's tasty, but man, it is not a slouch.
Not for the faint of heart.
Like, it's a dick kicker. A good old 10.6.
10.6%. Oh, so this thing, yeah, this is not one to not take seriously.
It's
this,
right in
one the, not to take seriously?
This is not one to not take seriously.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a, and you know what else it is? Hey.
East Coast Local.
There you go. There you
it
go.
Is East Coast yeah. Local. That
That's
is
East Coast Local. That's fact. A thing. That's what it is. Oh,
love
yeah.
Love it when that happens.
Yeah, put your dick right in the
oh,
grave.
Oh, shit.
Dick in the dirt.
Now, Kron, you've got a little beverage here.
I have perhaps my favorite porter of all time.
Okay.
And this may have come up in a previous episode because we bought 2 6-packs of this, and I think Manna brought one last time.
Oh, I remember here. She did bring some of that, I think.
This is my favorite porter of all time. It's also East Coast Local, technically. It is made by Great Lakes Brewing Company out of Erie, PA, and it is the Edmund Fitzgerald Porter, and it is 6%, so you can get wrecked on Edmund Fitzgerald.
Nice.
And it is fucking delicious.
Yeah, it's a tasty beverage. So, and I think that's the only things of note that we have tonight. The rest is just like trash drinks that we're just
yeah,
sipping
I've got some
on.
PBRs with me too.
Some PBRs and stuff. You always got to have some base beers, you know?
Basic bitches.
Basic. We're basic bitches.
I got this. A coffee.
This, you got a coffee. This one definitely pairs well with roast beef, for the record.
I can
the
see
porter?
That.
Yeah, nice. I can definitely
hearty
see that.
Hearty red meat. Yeah, oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
And some carrots, and some carrots and some potatoes.
Nice.
Cooked with the roast beef in the oven.
Now,
you're gonna say taters.
Now that we've talked about what we're drinking, it is time to use that alcohol to make a drunken scene.
Oh, shit.
Making a drunken scene.
And what a scene it is. This is probably hands down
Passion.
One of my favorite, if not my favorite, Sam Jackson moment of all movies.
Right.
It's iconic. Everyone knows this scene. And it's talking about like an intense moment that involves murder. This would definitely fall under it. This is from Pulp Fiction from 1994.
I thought you were going with Snakes on a Plane.
Yes, Snakes on a Plane. That's one of the most iconic moments in film history is when he says motherfucking snakes.
On this motherfucking plane.
And also we did that in the Animal Attack movie episode. So
we
already covered that. Yeah. So
it seems more fitting.
This is a scene when they come to collect the briefcase from the motherfuckers that stole it. And some hijinks ensue. So we've got, I will be playing the role of Jules. So I apologize ahead of time for that. Who's playing Marvin?
That'd be me.
That's Lowdown as Marvin. Who's playing Roger?
Yep.
Also Lowdown. Who's playing the narrator?
Yep.
Also Lowdown. Cool. We've also got
Lazy Fuck
Brett, who is playing Brett.
Me.
That is Smash is playing Brett. And the role of who else? Vincent.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
It's a good round.
Up your nose with the rubber hose. Hey.
Oh,
so,
shit.
So I'm going to start off this. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for what's about to happen. We're doing a drunken scene starting with Jules. So here we go.
Ha ha. You flock of seagulls. You know why we're here? Why don't you tell my man Vincent where you got the shit hit at?
It's over the...
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. You were saying...
It's in the cupboard.
Vincent starts looking in the upper cupboard.
No. The one by your knees.
We happy?
Yeah, we happy.
I'm sorry. I didn't get your name. I got yours, Vincent, right? But I didn't get yours.
My name's Pitt, and your ass ain't talking your way out of this shit.
No. I just want to know how sorry, I want you to know how sorry we are that things got so fucked up with us. And Mr. Wallace, we got this thing with the best intentions, and I never.
Jules shoots the man on the couch.
I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions? What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort. What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
Why?
Is that in the Magic Kingdom? What ain't no country I've ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
That was something.
That was
holy shit!
I fucking can.
We either lost or gained listeners with that one. There's there's no middle ground.
God damn! Holy shit! All right.
Although I would love to see a Mickey Mouse rendition of that scene for real.
You could put Mickey Mouse.
It's gotta be South Park Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You could put Mickey Mouse in almost any iconic role, and it would make it funnier.
Oh hell yeah,
or creepy,
or creepy.
Mickey Mouse is Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
I need to see Mickey Mouse as Kevin Spacey's character in Seven.
Oh,
I'd like to see him as Rick on The Walking Dead.
Oh my god,
or Negan.
Or Negan, or Shane, what? Whoever, we're the fucking governor.
You said it's Negan. It's like, ooh, she's a vampire bat.
Speaking of, like, we're talking about memorable kills.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
That was the what season was it? The ender or opener?
Season seven premiere.
Yeah,
premiere
when we actually got to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, where he just took him out, like eyeball hanging out, just like fucking done.
That Glenn.
Was that the one where he had like a line?
It was
a
seven premiere, right? Not eight. It was a seven.
That's where he had like the line of people.
Yes.
One that Dave Chappelle did a whole skit on.
Yes. Yes.
That was amazing.
Yes.
I didn't see the episode, but I saw the Dave Chappelle skit.
Yeah, that skit was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah, with Dave Chappelle as Negan?
Yes.
Oh, man, it was so good. It was so good.
He took out Tyrone.
He took out Tyrone.
Now,
memorable kills. Memorable kills.
Start off this side talking about shoot 'em ups. We're going to talk about the movies that are just so much fun to watch because people are, like, lots of people are getting gunned down. Like, and there's movies that, you know, gunshots happen and it's kind of whatever. And there's good movies where that happens. Heat, for example. Great gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing memorable about each kill. It's just people getting shot during a bank heist.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like the John Wick shit, where each time that somebody's getting shot, it's very interesting. The choreography is incredible. The way people are going down is incredible. John Wick is especially good for that because, well, part of the reason why John Wick is so good is because it's directed by, like, former stuntmen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they knew how to do this shit, and so that's why there isn't any slowing down or speeding up in the choreography for John Wick. That's just that motherfucking knowing how to shoot a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he spent a lot of time training on ranges and doing tactical training to learn to do all that stuff without blanks before he started doing it on screen with blanks.
Which is, by the way, different than action movies in the past, the 80s or 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Is they didn't care whether you looked like you actually had training. They just make you kind of look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're amped it up so much now. John Wick is a perfect example of the evolution of action movies or shoot 'em up in any way.
Well, apparently, doing those movies, he got so into doing all the shooting sports that now he competitively shoots.
Yeah.
Because guns are fun.
Like, as a hobby.
Guns are fun.
Aside from
guns
building, like, really sweet, awesome motorcycles and, like, giving money to old people and, like, charity, Keanu Reeves just now shoots competitively, too.
So he's basically the coolest fucking human being ever.
Yeah. Not always the best actor, but John Wick is the perfect role for him.
Oh, truly.
But how bad would it be, like, to be John Wick and then to lose a competition?
Oh, that'd be rough.
Right? That wouldn't be fucking rough.
To, like, some dude with a beer gut from Colorado.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Although,
hold my beer, look at this shit.
He's kind of a force of just sheer will, right? That's the way they describe him. He'd probably get healthy, pick up some shit, and then come back and whoop somebody's ass.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Another series of movies, actually, that are always memorable with the gunfire and just the ridiculousness is fucking Rambo.
I thought you were going to say Star Wars.
No.
There's lots of memorable not kills because those motherfuckers can't hit shit.
Exactly. So when they do, it's a surprise every time.
And in fairness, Rambo had a lot of kills without guns.
That is.
Except for the one ending scene to Rambo 2 where it's like, I mean, they made fun of it in Hot Shot Part 2. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, there was that.
Rambo, what was the last one? Was that 5?
That was just called Rambo.
Just called Rambo. That was 4.
The 50 cal motherfucker.
The 50 cal was so gratuitous. Fucking badass.
Holy shit.
Every one of those murderous, like, rape POSs, he just took them fucking all down.
Well, it kind of reminded me of the big battle in Braveheart where you're seeing legs get just taken off axes, but instead it's just bullets whizzing through, taking limbs off and shit.
I'll say, we're talking about gunplay. I'm going to throw this out there. Every motherfucking end scene Murtaugh shot. Boom. He did that fucking neck thing and bam, right there, down the middle. Loved it.
Middle like it's a football.
Seriously, it was though. He was just like,
it was like he was lining up for a shot at the range. Yeah. Like, shit's exploding, it's on fire, and this dude's like focused. Taking his sweet time, line it up, and just bam,
well,
right
see, those were the days
forehead.
You could blow a helicopter up with one shot. You know, those were magical days.
The helicopter in the car.
Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. It was just ridiculous, but it was one of the biggest things I remember from fucking any Lethal Weapon movie was that just that one Murtaugh shot you got, because he's the old guy. You know, he's got to still be a badass.
He's too old for this shit.
Exactly. Fucking ridiculous.
Speaking of Pulp Fiction and gunplay. We just did Pulp Fiction. That's why.
Oh, my God.
I think something happened, but I wasn't here for it.
And gunplay. Just
kidding. And gunplay. Mostly gunplay.
Yeah, mostly gunplay.
But gun safety.
Oh,
you should always keep your finger off the trigger because, oh, fuck, you just shot Marvin in the fucking face.
Yeah, you did.
you did. When John Travolta gets shot while taking a shit.
Yep.
Oh.
That was an amazing scene. Kick open the door, pop, pop, while he's taking a shit.
The poor guy's
terrible.
Shit.
That's like,
although the plus side is they say sometimes you relieve your bowels after you die. So if he's already on the toilet, that's at least better
that
clean up for the paramedics.
That made it easier for the guy that had to come clean that shit up.
Yeah. That literal shit up.
As opposed to mopping brains out of the back of this fucking car.
Tarantino's pretty good about memorable movie murders in general. Like, you look at Inglorious Bastards. There's the baseball bat scene.
Oh,
that is scene.
Fucking fantastic.
Oh, the bear.
I mean,
the Hitler scene.
Then the Hitler scene.
They burned down an entire theater.
That goes into surprise murders, because you're expecting, okay, they're not going to do it. They're going to take out a bunch of Germans and stuff.
They're going to try to stick more historical.
And then they shoot him in his fucking face with a machine gun.
Yeah, they do.
And I think I remember standing up in the theater when that happened, because it was just so joyous and also not at all expected. That was fucking wonderful.
I mean, I think for a lot of, if we're going to talk about gunplay, there's like some select serious war movies that could definitely go with that. Like, Saving Private Ryan had some like brutal ass fucking gunshot
the
kills.
The guy that
goddamn Band of Brothers, fucking Band of Brothers. There were some like brilliantly shot fucking gun deaths.
More based in reality too, so you can tie into it a little more and affects you.
The guy in Saving Private Ryan that fucked up with a sticky bomb and exploded himself.
Yep.
I fucking died laughing every single time.
And we were talking about Nazis. Fuck, Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first off, there's the not Nazi, but the dude that does the sword thing, and then he just gets tired and shoots.
Never bring a knife to a gunfight.
But then in Last Crusade, the Nazi that gets on the tank tread and then rolls over the tank tread underneath, and then you just see a smear of blood coming around.
Yes.
It's so good.
Kill all the Nazis. So,
are we including, like, scripted video games in this?
No.
I don't think that's a movie. That's a different medium.
I had one from Nazi.
It does say movie
Nazis
in the title.
That's
so
fair.
Yeah.
That also reminded me of...
reminding of one from Wolfenstein New Order where you drown the Nazi in his own piss.
And outside the box, memorable movie murder that is super memorable is the guy that was run over by a steamroller in Austin Powers, where it's like 50 feet away and the dude is screaming and he's like, just move. You can walk to the left. And then they followed up with the family and everything.
And that was making fun of fucking Christopher Lloyd's death and Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, there was some memorable movie deaths in that, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Where he dips the shoe and it just screams.
Yeah. Oh, it's heartbreaking and awful, but beautiful, like the way it was done. But that's the kind of the evolution of these things. I mean, if you look over time, like to where we are now, as you look at Friday the 13th, it's a perfect example. You know, you look at the way that they had orchestrated those deaths and how, like, they tried to get a super creative. Somewhere as they got, you know, past that, they just didn't care anymore. The new remake, for example, really didn't have that many awesome deaths. It was mostly just him just attacking him.
I like the one where the machete got stuck on the dude's head under the dock and he was like trying to pull it out.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Bumping the underside of the dock. That was pretty good.
I think it was was it 4 or which one was the cabin? I think it was I want to say it was two. I'm sorry. And Friday the 13th, where the guy's doing the handstand. Is that three?
That's three.
That's three. I couldn't remember. They all mixed together. But yeah, he's doing the handstand.
Well, that one was in 3D.
So. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There you go.
Yeah, that one, the guy's doing the handstand. He's like shirtless. And then Jason walks up and literally just slices him in half while he's doing a handstand. So you know that gravity, everything is just falling everywhere. It's just falling out.
Ugh. And it actually leads into, signature slasher kills. And that was a solid Jason one. Now, yeah. If we're on the topic of Friday the 13th, my favorite, personally, is not The Sleeping Bag, which
although
is
a classic.
A number two. That's like right there. It might be 1.5, because it's like a fucking brutal death scene.
That's
right?
Like his finishing move in Mortal Kombat. I'm not even fucking with you.
Yeah, no, really, like, you like, whack. Yeah, that's it. Is fucking Jason Lives, so that's Friday the 13th, part 6, mm-hmm. for you people that don't know, when he bends the sheriff backwards in half.
Oh, God,
was fucking brutal. Like, I get being crushed into a, bed frame, but that was also, like, the 11th movie with Jason, right? So we're talking, like, basically Friday the 13th Part 6, brought Jason back. It's the first movie where he was actually a zombie. He was basically just couldn't die before. And, like, they weren't killing him, actually. He was just getting hurt and then coming back even, slower than he was before.
He's like, I'm too old to run.
But 6 was, like, literally the first zombie Jason we got. And, like, at the end, he bends the sheriff backwards in half. And you get to see it all in its glory where his head is touching the ground next to his fucking ankles. And you're like, holy
Which
shit.
Which was, basically, it's the reverse bed.
Yeah, the reverse bed. Oh, could you imagine just your back just snap, 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 snap? Oh, God.
It's
fuck.
The rack, man.
That sounds like a bubble wrap. Smash mentioned Freddy versus Jason, and I hate to go back to that, but there was one scene that I really appreciated, although that movie in general I'm not a huge fan of,
right.
is the flaming spear through the Raver Kid
at
the rave party. Machete?
The machete. The flaming machete that I was like, yep, okay, I will sign that check. I'm good on this one.
Hold on. As far as sequels go, that's the one you're not a fan of? Really? Freddy vs. Jason?
Mainly because of what they did with Freddy. Like, I felt like he was just so poorly written. Like, worse than a lot of the Freddy movies, I think.
He was desperate for fear that we've known for a long time. That's what made him survive.
Sure.
And they showed him being desperate because no one was afraid of him anymore.
But the last Freddy movie was one of my favorites, New Nightmare.
Yes.
So you're coming off of that. Of him being truly terrifying, and then you get to Freddy versus Jason,
especially when the child's in the hospital room for
and
the
they first. Remake the they redo the walk scene
in the new Nightmare. I mean, God damn, that was great.
Now, in fairness to that movie, that movie pulled him out of a movie and made him into reality.
Yep.
So, back to Freddy versus Jason, that was set in the tone of where it wasn't him in reality anymore.
Yeah,
if I'm explaining
him
that
as correctly. A cartoon character, basically.
But that was the most evil we've seen him. Like outside of Wes Craven's New Nightmare, that I feel like Freddy was written just as evil as he was in 3 and or in 1. As far as his tactics and what he wanted from that, he wanted the kids to be afraid of him. He wanted to murder the shit out of them to get his souls for power. They were definitely playing off of Dream Warriors in that, where he uses introduced the idea of him using their souls for power.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Then they become part of a pizza. I remember.
That was 4. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was.
God.
So in a diner with
all
some
I'm
pizza.
Saying is they kind of brought back in some franchise oldies from the solid movies. They didn't bring shit back from 4, 5, or 6. It was mainly just the souls are his power. They're not afraid of him. He cannot do what he loves to do and murder the shit out of kids.
But you know what? It makes sense. You know? He's got to feed somehow.
You're right.
He doesn't need food.
And then but it definitely brought the camp back where he was just making fun of Jason because he's like, apparently a retard who drowned in the fucking lake. That's what the movie portrays him as.
And if you want to go, actually the whole movie is Candyman.
Oh.
Some of the deaths in Candyman, the bees when they the suffocation of the bees or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there's just too much of them and they just fucking. I mean, that's a horrible way to die.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's not cool.
No, but I mean, that's at that time, that's what was popular. It started to get more and more popular to really show the gore in a more realistic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th, you look at the old ones, they're amazing, right? But they're not that real. Like you could tell that's just like a fake head or something like that. But as it got older, they realized as sophisticated as the audience got, it just got better and better. And now it gets to a point where you almost can't distinguish it between what you would think it would actually look like. It lost that almost effect that it used to have.
Now, Kron just sent me something that I feel definitely needs to be made mention that. Of on this episode is perfect, is that apparently right now, for our listeners and the panelists as well, Amazon Prime is currently streaming the rare X-rated cut of RoboCop.
Oh,
the
what?
Yes,
shit.
The super gory version. I have this version because I have the 2005 box set of the trilogy of movies, and I got that specifically because it has the X-rated cut in it.
Two and three are just...
Oh, they're trash.
Yeah. There's a jetpack.
Yeah.
There's a fucking jetpack.
But this cut, talking about a memorable movie murder, when they murder Murphy at the beginning and they blow his fucking hand off.
Oh, yeah.
And it's gruesome.
Like, with the fucking shotgun, like, right to the
fucking
wrist.
But that's in the R-rated cut.
Yeah.
But it's way more brutal and gory in the X-rated cut.
Oh, okay.
Like, that, especially that initial opening.
Which really makes
scene.
Watching that 70s show way more fucked
well,
up.
Well, no, but...
Yeah, right?
But I think I remember, like, watching the R-rated cut, and they, like, show him with the gun to the wrist, and they blow his hand off, and you see the hand flying away. I don't know how much more brutal they can get than that.
I mean, you break the hand in little bits.
Yeah, it becomes basically like this blood puddle where his hand used to be. Yeah, it's pretty gruesome. So
I've never seen the X-rated cut, but guess what I'm watching tomorrow at work?
No, but seriously, it's free on Prime right now?
Yeah, apparently it's on Prime streaming, so... Yeah.
That's
we'll awesome. Be
yeah, I've got a set in my list now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Because, yeah, that I thoroughly suggest anybody that's enjoying this episode, because you enjoy, like, good gore,
so,
check out the X-rated RoboCop cut.
Speaking of franchises that are built around murder, and I feel like we haven't touched this. We touched on, like, the other big master of horror, of Wes Craven, of course, but we have completely glossed over Clive fucking Barker and Hellraiser.
And we have to talk about Hellraiser, because
so many people being
I feel like that falls under the kills that, like, just fucking we didn't expect, because that shit was not like, oh, he's going to grab this thing and stab somebody. Like, most of the Hellraiser kills, except for in the first one where she was, like, murdering people to, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know, get her jollies off with a corpse, because that's basically what it was about.
I mean,
was just fucked up death scenes that we did not see coming. How are you going to kill this person? Oh, I'm going to fucking, you know, just take this random thing and shove that here, and then I'm going to...
Lots of chains with hooks.
Was it two or three where the guy got, like, just impaled with a fucking pool cue?
It was three.
Mm.
Oh, that was the CD guy.
Hello, the CD guy.
Oh.
I first watched it, I was like 10. Like, watching, like, just the horror movies. Like, oh, this movie's sweet. This guy's made out of CDs and he's killing people. And I'm like 10. I'm like, this is the best thing fucking ever. But granted,
and then you turn 11 and went, no, it's not.
I thought it was awesome. Terrible. Yeah, and then I got a VHS copy of Reanimator.
And yeah, that has some fantastic gore in it as well.
The fucking cat.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Well, as I go back to my childhood, I can't help but think, I remember, you know, it's like public access or whatever, and they used to show old movies, and then the remake of The Blob came on.
Mm-hmm.
And their deaths, although not entirely like original, but when they died, were gruesome, because inside the blob, you see them dissolving away. And I remember being one of the first, like, death scenes watching that movie that I'd ever really seen. From there, I moved on to Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
But we touched on it a little bit with, as these slasher series especially, but these movies like Saw, and I think that's kind of the moral of the story of this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, is that when you get the Saw movies or the Hostel movies or the slasher movies.
Scream.
When you start off, there's some real nuance to the goriness and the kills, and even though they're goofy and memorable in certain ways, shapes, or forms, there's some weight behind them. There's still story. It's not just about the kills. And as it goes along, you've got Jason Voorhees in space, you know, and just the utter fucking ridiculousness.
Leprechaun.
Speaking of goofy and slash movies, one of my favorite all-time dumbass slash movie kills is the first Scary Movie, where he goes to stab her and stabs her in the tit and pulls out the implant.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I fucking die every single time I see that.
But it's ironic that you use the word moral. It's the moral of the story, considering in regards to what we're speaking
of. Oh, it's amoral as hell. Yeah.
Right. Which is kind of like, you know, the point. And you're saying that so a lot of these deaths in certain of these movies now, like, they have context to the death versus just the fun of them being killed in cool ways.
And I feel like you're missing a real opportunity there, because even if you are revisiting the same character for the 10th time.
Right.
There's an opportunity for you to tell a new story with that character and still have the same deaths. I'm not saying don't do those. No. Fucking do those. Absolutely. I like them.
Just do them better.
Just do them with some additional story context along with them to give them a little bit more backing. So it's not just murder porn.
Yeah, so it's not like, didn't that girl that took her shirt off and she showed her boobs and then she died?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Awesome, like it's cool, it's fun, it's you can brush that off, but if it actually has some like emotional weight behind it, you're like, I actually gave a fuck about that girl.
Yeah, where she's like, you know,
and not just her,
like earlier in the movie, she's like, yeah, I'm just really coming to terms with the whole, like, my uncle molesting me when I was 8. And then she gets murdered. And you're like, oh, fuck. Like, I didn't. That's
or the
like
or the frat guy so who's actually it. Gay and his father hates him. But, you know, and then they bring that in and he's just with that character. Like, there's always, you could have a dozen different characters with a with context to their lives and that you actually may give a shit and then kill them off. That's like what they do on The Walking Dead.
The summer camp counselor that's actually a big like horror movie fanboy and is actually really hoping that Jason Voorhees comes out. But then when it actually happens, he goes, oh, fuck, this is real life. And then it gets completely fucking terrified over the situation.
Sounds like Fright Night.
Kind of. Kind of. Which has some fun deaths in it as well.
There's some fun deaths. Nothing too terribly creative, but it was a great movie.
Of course, there's no way that we're going to get anywhere close to all of our favorite deaths.
No.
Yeah.
God, no.
But I think we have one main category left, right?
We got one, but we can't spend a lot of time on it because we're already over time at this point. So, but
can I just say the one thing that I had thought about, the one movie?
The category we're talking about, the thing is the Out of the Blue Kills That Caught Us Off Guard.
Yes.
That we just did not expect it.
Wash from Serenity.
but no, we cannot.
Bullshit, you didn't see that
too
coming.
Too soon.
Are that you fucking
never too soon.
Do you really think we can end the episode on fucking Hoban Washburn dying?
I want everybody to think about that.
We can end it on Goodfellas.
Yes, everybody to think about that.
Oh my God, you're a terrible human being. You're
amazing.
A fucking terrible
human being. That's hilarious.
I've been saving that. I was really hoping nobody said a goddamn
God
word.
God damn it, dude.
And it was a straight fucking murder, too.
And
it wasn't like
spear
it happened by accident.
Two.
Okay, I'm going to try to cleanse the palate a little bit. Something that I didn't expect the first time I saw it was when Vader grabbed the Emperor and threw him down the shaft at the end of Jedi.
Oh, he threw him down
that
shaft.
Yeah, he did.
He had that coming.
Lightsaber in hand and
all. He was a hot dog in a hallway. rolling down.
And he was.
Yeah.
Heading towards the flame.
We did miss Ash vs. Evil Dead.
We did, and there are a lot of memorable, but we also did miss Drew Barrymore in the first Scream as far as
getting
surprising,
eviscerated.
Yeah, surprising sure. Caught us off guard because that was the entire point of it. I think Wes Craven was talking to her about the leading role, and she was like, no, I want this one when she read the script because she knew how much of a surprise, which leaned entirely into what he was trying to do is be kind of both a parody and a counter to the tropes of horror.
But was her death a surprise?
Yeah.
I kind of figured
Once you saw the boyfriend bound and gagged and then gutted, you knew she was going to die before she died.
The blonde always dies.
But also, you expected because it was Drew Barrymore, she was going to make it further into the movie than
exactly.
the first 5 minutes
that was a
of
big,
the movie.
That's a big name.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the big turn there, is that it's Drew Barrymore. Of course she's going to be in this movie for a while. And she's on the cover of the movie, on the movie posters. She's on the cover.
Well, it worked out well for Neve Campbell.
Yeah, you didn't expect Brad Pitt to die on some power lines in Deadpool 2, did you?
Another one is...
he's not on the cover.
The first Feast movie.
He's there,
where they actually label the dude being like, we have to batten down the hatches. We've got to get this shit all taken care of because there's monsters attacking. And then a window opens up and they like eat his fucking head.
Yeah.
And then a woman comes in and it's like, oh, I guess she'll do as the main protagonist. At Feast, which was a Project Greenlight movie, I believe.
Really?
That
I remember that show.
Did. Yeah, the I think it was HBO did it back in the day.
I admired what they tried to do with that.
Look, that movie has Henry Rollins in pink sweatpants as a motivational speaker. You got me.
Yeah, done.
I'm done.
That's
a
great way to cap it off.
Yeah. Okay. You have my attention, sir.
Yes. Yeah, you got me.
All right, we're done with this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Thank you guys so much for sticking around for this second of our 5-part Halloween series of episodes. We're coming out with one every week for the month of October, so definitely keep paying attention to your streams. Subscribe to Geeks Under the Influence on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, any of that. And, rate us, review us. Let us know what you want to hear on future episodes. Let us know what you liked about previous episodes. Listen to some of the other podcasts on the network. We've got Smash here. It's got Smash Talk, and you've got a few episodes coming out soon, right?
Yeah, so we have 2 recorded. It's an editing process right now.
Okay.
And then we will stagger them out. But we're going to try to get out all the ones we got from Monster Mania.
True.
Out before the end of the month. So just keep an eye out for all of them.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's
this
a lot
month.
Going on.
It's a lot this month, but it's worth it. There's a lot. It's a lot of cool shit.
It's like the best month of the year.
Yeah, right? It is. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
It really is.
It really is.
Better than Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
And remember, you get to enjoy some October fun with us if you come out on the 17th to Strangeways Brewing Company.
That's right.
You know, come on out. We're probably gonna have some pumpkins laying around. We're gonna have some Halloween fun while we're watching the movie. So.
Would they let us do pumpkin smashing contest?
Probably not pumpkin smashing, but I'll see if we can maybe get some pumpkins for carving.
That's cool.
I'll check on
you
that.
Could also just,
sharp objects and alcohol. Yeah.
You could also just smash some Gourd of Thunder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, their pumpkin beer is really fucking good.
It's
the Gourd of Thunder.
Delicious. Yeah. So smash that.
That was that's nice.
Yeah.
That's,
but smash it responsibly. Take an Uber home.
It was adorable wordplay, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Smash responsibly.
Smash responsibly.
Sounds like is that a condom ad? That's what we're talking about.
That smash responsibly means you wear rubber and you call an Uber.
Yeah.
That needs to be a keychain. Just smash responsibly.
Or wear a rubber in an Uber.
I feel like we're going in a direction.
Yes. No, yes, totally. Yeah. Definitely do that.
We're going
that
in a direction with this I didn't expect.
Okay, and that's time for us to call it a night.
Goodbye.
Some of the influence. Thank you again, guys, for listening. I'm Mike the Hobbit. And as always, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul! Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, or play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, just you fail to resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an iron fist. So join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul!
GUIPodcast.com